Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning, Metroplex. Happy Friday. We're going to get you to your weekend on DFW Sports Station. So the other day, the story came out that a Forrest Gump sequel was done. It was all written up. It was about to be turned in. Unfortunately, the date of the turn-in was September 10th, 2001, the day before 9/11 that stopped us from hearing any more of this.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
So, and by the way, I probably put this in one of my top five all-time movies.
It's an amazing film. Like, I usually don't like films that have meaning. I like mindless films.
Yeah, when you wrote the email the other day about like the Kevin Durant pizza delivery in the hotel, I was worried about you.
Thank you.
You're like, oh, this brought a smile to my face.
It did. It really did.
So blah, blah, blah.
It really did, because Kevin Durant takes it on the chin an awful lot, and I thought what he did was a really cool gesture. And
what he did real quick.
And what he did was, you know, he saw this this guy in the elevator, and the guy had a couple of kids with him, and he brought pizzas to their hotel room, delivered them pizza just out of nowhere. And
I wonder how he knew where they were staying, what room.
Maybe on the same floor and next door. I don't know. But
and Kevin, like, ordered pizzas?
Saying it's a plant?
Seems like.
Are you suggesting it's a plant?
I have no idea.
I mean, he may have asked the guy in the elevator. I don't know, but I just thought it was a cool thing.
Maybe it was an Aaron Andrews episode.
Yeah, maybe. You never know. I don't know what that means, but that's cool.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a really cool gym. Brought a smile to my face. Made me happy. Kevin Durant.
Wow.
Is not all the bad that a lot of people give him credit for.
It was a nice moment. But the director of Forrest Gump spoke with Yahoo Entertainment, and he said, look, this movie has no meaning anymore after 9/11 happened. So we never saw it again. But what about plot details? Do you want to get into these?
Yeah, I'll get into these because I have a comment on this, okay? First off, I was at a Boomer Jacks yesterday at the first round event. Awesome turnout. I was talking to a lot of people, and we were talking about this movie. And the amount of people who didn't know that Jenny had AIDS blew me away. I thought that was just common knowledge. Like, everyone knew that.
Thinking back upon it, it didn't hit me immediately. Like,
really?
It was an obvious thing.
Okay. All
now,
right.
I haven't watched it forever.
But you, like, when it first came out.
I don't know if I picked up on it quickly like that. I don't know if I did.
All right. All right, maybe when I first saw it, because I probably first saw it when I was 14. I probably didn't know. But, like, as I saw it again at 20, I'm sure I thought it was just common knowledge.
Okay.
That's what she had.
I didn't know there was a book.
I didn't know it was a book either. I didn't know it was a book either.
Yeah.
So it turns out, and this is from the guy who wrote the book, Eric Roth. It was going to start with his little boy having AIDS. And people wouldn't go to class with him in Florida. I thought they were in Alabama, but I guess they moved to Florida. We had a funny sequence where they were busing in Florida at the same time with desegregation. So people were either angry about the busing or their kids having to go to school with a kid who had HIV/AIDS.
It was kind of interesting that he described that as we had a funny scene.
Yes, it was a hilarious scene of desegregation.
Segregation or
segregation.
Or HIV.
It's a real knee slapper.
The real knee slapper about.
Wait, what a sick F.
Man. So literally, he turns it in the day before 9/11.
But that's the type of thing that reminded me, the gut-wrenching thing is watching Forrest get made fun of throughout it, and then the bus thing. Like, I hated the bus scene. When no one would let him sit down, and that would kind of be like this. That's what I thought of. You know,
yeah.
That's the emotion of,
sure.
You know, making
Slate's
that.
Steichen.
Huh?
Slate Steichen.
Slate Steichen.
He goes, literally, I turned it in the day before 9/11, and Tom and I and Bob, boy, Tom, Bob, and Eric, what a generic bunch of names that is, got together on 9/11 to sort of commiserate about how life in America and how tragic it was. And we looked at each other and said, this movie no longer has meaning. What do you mean it no longer has meaning? How does it no longer have meaning? It was Forrest Gump, one of the most meaningful movies of all time.
Mm.
It still has meaning.
Well, you know how in the original they, you know, had him go through the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and these major seminal events?
Yep.
Forrest Gump 2 would have followed him through real life events of the 90s. I had him in the back of OJ's Bronco.
Oh, it's great.
He would look up occasionally, but they didn't see him in the rearview mirror, and then he would pop down. I had him as a ballroom dancer. This, like, makes perfect Forrest Gump sense. I had him as a ballroom dancer who was really good. He could do the rotation ballroom dancing, and then eventually, just as sort of a charity kind of thing, he danced with Princess Diana.
Oh, see? That's amazing.
And then the last detail on why it was scrapped after the terrorist attacks, he meets on a bus. He meets a Native American woman on a bus, finds his calling as a bingo caller on a reservation. Like, this sounds perfect. Like,
Forrest Gump
ends up as a bingo caller on a reservation. She taught nursery school at a government building in Oklahoma City, though. And he was sitting on the bench waiting for her to have lunch. And all of a sudden, the building behind him blows up.
It's the Timothy McVeigh.
Yep. So when 9/11 occurred, everything felt meaningless. So that's why the sequel was scrapped.
And quite honestly, it feels like maybe if that scene hadn't been a part of it and hadn't been such a critical part of the movie and the storyline, it might have gotten made, but I can totally see them saying to themselves, like, there's no reason to go back to this in a movie form right after the country is reeling from an attack that's similar to.
Speaking of sequels, did the news come out this week that we're going to see more Sandra, more Bullock?
It does appear that we're going to see more Sandra Bullock. Now, whether or not Sandra Bullock's going to see us seeing her because she's got her eyes closed or they're blindfolded or whatever the hell, I'm not going to watch it. That's for sure.
It's the Bird Box sequel.
But Netflix has announced, yes, Sean, that Bird Box will have a sequel in which they will address, spoiler alert, by the way, so if you haven't seen the first Bird Box, maybe turn the radio down for about 5 seconds here. They will address...
Just get in your car and drive with your eyes closed and you'll have seen it.
Yeah, God. They will address...
Don't do that for real.
...who the actual monsters are. It appears that they will do some type of... Because that was the biggest complaint. That was certainly my complaint. That you spend an hour and a half watching a movie where the antagonist of the entire movie, you never get to see. You never really know what they are or what people are seeing when they're being caused to basically lose their minds. So Bird Box 2, Netflix trying to cash in on one of these deals, I guess, where they just suck you in and then take your money the second time.
Still haven't seen it.
No thanks.
I haven't seen it either.
Don't.
All right, let's get to this. I'm a little bit hesitant too, but I would have this conversation off the air, so we'll try it on the air with what couples are prioritizing and where is it from.
It's from OKCupid. It's a love website.
By the way, real quick, we'll say this while Troy's out. Apparently Johnny Manziel's Instagram is gone, and his girl, is it his fiance or wife?
Wife.
His wife has scrubbed some photos of Johnny on hers. So Johnny's is gone, and there are no pictures of Johnny on his wife's Instagram account, the girl who was accused of cheating in a marathon, so... There's your celebrity trash update.
Okay, very good. So
not that those people are trash, but like your gossip.
According to OKCupid, survey of 8 million users, not a survey of 1,400 people, a survey of 8 million say that millennials care more about her partner's politics than they do about sex.
Sex.
In what world have we gone to that, like...
It's not surprising whatsoever.
Wall Street reform is more important than sex.
Yeah.
Like, the need to be, you know, affirmed of your beliefs is... Oh, my... You're reinforcing your own political stances is more important than sex in a relationship. Where how do we get here?
Well, I think I could... Let me defend it for a second. And then I'll attack it. Defending it is, you know, you're basing your, you want to date or marry the person who think you have similar beliefs and principles and
great
and you know morals
uh-huh.
in some circumstances, and you know you want to be with a person whose opinions and beliefs you respect.
I think a smart person can respect the views of somebody who doesn't think exactly like them.
I would agree, but a lot of people don't respect the opposite opinion. I give my parents a lot of credit. My dad and mom are kind of opposite. My mom is going to be Democrat no matter what. My dad is going to go based upon what's going to help his bank account
uh-huh.
and the money he's made. So a lot of times that'll be Republican.
Okay.
But they don't go to war over it.
No, they don't, because people don't sit around and talk about, you know, I mean, how many discussions, deep discussions about politics are you having at night?
I bet a ton.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it probably comes up you, more and
like
more.
Michelle?
No, not. I don't have a ton of discussions with my wife about it, but I'm saying in terms of millennials, it probably comes up more and more today because it's so polarizing. There is so much going on in that world.
I also don't want to put that all on millennials, like every single
age
group.
No, right, absolutely.
Yeah.
But this is they were asking them because they're the biggest age group on these dating sites.
But if Michelle was totally opposite of what Roy is or believes,
I still fit to be married.
I don't know. I think there'd be a tremendous amount of problems.
It'd be tougher. Now, Sean, your parents are a shining example of that. They're like, even in my interactions with them both, that they have two different kind of world views, but they work in simpatico. You know, they're perfect for one another.
I went out with a girl once. She may even be a Tolo. But I went out and she started getting hardcore into one opinion. And you know me, I just asked 50,000 questions.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't. And first off, I don't have a hardcore political belief, so I couldn't go opposite or agree with her. But once I realized that she was like totally in on one side and was going to attack if I was opposite, nevermore. See you later.
Since between 2016 and 18, the number of women who consider politics more important than sex went from 27 to 42%.
Ooh.
Well, for men, that needle moved 23 to 30%. If you're a guy and you're passing up on great sex because she doesn't agree with your stance on Bernie Sanders, you've got problems.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got some problems there.
Yeah. So there you go. That it's fascinating, but it's also not surprising. It really is.
I guess you're right.
There's just no – all you have to do, in my opinion – and again, we just had this discussion without one political take or opinion. Like, my parents – my dad would be like – just compromise on both sides of being like, yeah, that's a good point on your end, and that's a good point on your end. You give and take a little bit of the positive and the negative, but no, everyone has to be totally black, totally white.
That's what adults
Zero
do.
Zero gray.
Adults compromise typically.
So that's not surprising whatsoever.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.